a desire and interest in your prayers today. I'd like to look at a thought that we're going to get from the Christmas story. I'd like to turn to Luke, the second chapter, and read a little bit. We read this account that we're going to read today to our family and grandchildren yesterday. I'd like to take it as a starting point for our inspiration and our thought this morning. You know, we focus a lot in our commemoration of Christ's birthday and celebration of Christmas. We focus a lot on Mary and her qualifications and her willingness, and we also focus on the baby, the Christ child coming into this world, and what it meant for God to come down to take on the form of humanity and the reality of human, the human element, everything that goes with it. We don't know anything but being human. We don't know anything about being divine other than feeling God's divine presence in our life. I trust each one feels that this morning. But one that seems like gets the least amount of attention in the Christmas story is Joseph and the earthly father of Jesus. And not that he shouldn't be overshadowed by the reality of God the Creator being the father of Jesus, but it seems like we overlook Joseph quite a bit. I'd like to bring him up to the forefront in our story today, and we'd like to begin with this account in Luke chapter 2 and begin in verse 8. Begin reading here. He says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." So the observation we made with our grandchildren yesterday, and what I'd like to bring our attention to just right now at the moment, is that apparently it was after the sun went down. Whether it was in the middle of the night or whether it was shortly after dusk or maybe it was towards morning, I don't know, but I believe it was dark. And the glory of the Lord, it said, shone around about them. There was an element of illumination. We know that Paul, when he was called Saul and on the road to Damascus, there was a light that shone upon him about midday. And I believe it was some of that same type of light, that illumination. Not only was it a light that where we could see with our natural eyes, I believe it was something that was spiritually illuminating. And I believe this was as well. And this glory of the Lord shone around about these shepherds. I don't know what they were thinking about. I don't know what they were meditating on. I really don't know what caliber of men they were. But I do believe that they were of Hebrew descent. I believe they were Jews, if you will. And I believe they knew the Old Testament law. I believe they knew what the prophets said to whatever extent the common man knew. And it said, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So the angel said, unto you is born this day. I don't know if this happened 30 minutes, 3 hours, 5 hours after Jesus was born. I don't know, but he said, unto you this day is born unto you a Savior in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, that the Lord hath made known to us, unto us. So I have to think that the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, was probably inspired by this passage of Scripture. He says, the first verse, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. What a thought for God of all creation and sinners to be able to be reconciled. How did it happen? It's because Jesus came, and he came to pay the price where we could be reconciled with God. He says, joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumphant of the skies. Who was the triumphant in the skies? I believe it was the angels that night that were singing, glory to God in the highest. with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. I don't know what the words were that they sang, but or what they were saying that were audible tones to the shepherds, but I believe they got the message that the heavenly hosts were rejoicing that Jesus had come to pay the price for men's souls, for their sins, so they could be reconciled with God the Father. So, as we want to read a little more here, it says, and they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, in verse 16. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they went, they took the talent that they were given, and they took it and shared it. They spread it around. He says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary thought about this. Today is the day after what we have set aside and recognized to be the day that Jesus was born. Whether it is or not had been up for debate for many generations, and I'm not here to debate that. But I'm glad we have a day set aside to commemorate Jesus' birth. And I'm glad that our nation is willing to honor that and respect that at this point. But today is the day after that. Today is the 26th. And so it seems like that the shepherds came maybe the morning after. What? When did this happen? When did the angels come? Was it 4 o'clock in the morning? Was it midnight? I don't know. It seemed like the shepherds tidied up their chores, and they said, let's go see for ourselves. Let's go see if we can find this child in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. I want to see. Surely it wasn't just one of us that saw this vision. They were all impressed with this presence of the angels and the heavenly host. And so, I believe it was within 24 hours. I don't know, but that's just my thought, is it was within 24 hours, maybe within 12 hours of Jesus getting here, that the shepherds came into Bethlehem and was able to share their experience with Mary and with Joseph. What's it like the day after a little baby comes in to your life? I've been there. I know what it's like leading up to it, and all of the activity of the child getting here and the day after. We're starting to settle into some type of routine. There's feeding that has to happen and cleanup routines that have to happen. And your life is completely different than it was before. And you decide to go somewhere. You don't just take your stuff, but you got to take your stuff and their stuff. And there's a level of responsibility that comes. And it starts really sinking in. I've got a child now to take care of. I've got something. There is something here that goes beyond this, and I don't know what's ahead of me. And I don't know, you know, up until Jesus came, Mary and Joseph were uncertain what the future, that it was, they hadn't had any children. This was her first child, and this was Joseph. I have to believe that this was his first child too. What is this? What's it all going to be in the reality of this settling? But it wasn't just the reality of we've got this little mouth to feed, we've got this little body to take care of, we got to have food and shelter, and we got to take care of all of these things for this new little person that's in our life. It was more than that. The angels come and said, or the shepherds came and said, the angels visited us and they told us that he was to be the Savior of the world. We were told that he was here wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We came to see for ourselves and we heard the angels singing. Now, no one ever come to visit me when we had had a new child come to our house and said, we heard angels singing and we just had to come and share it. That didn't happen to us. We had people come and say, oh, you have a precious little baby. And we've told that to our children. You have a precious little, it's a beautiful grandchild. Thank you so much for giving us a grandchild. But we didn't hear any angels singing. We didn't have any visitation like that. But can you imagine the level and sense of responsibility that was settling, the reality of this that was settling in? This is not just a little boy. Oh, it is a little boy, but it's more. These shepherds that we didn't know, God came and told them through some angelic beings that he was here. They didn't have Twitter and they didn't have a cell phone. There was no way of putting it out. People post stuff all of the time on social media of what they're doing right now, like everybody wants to know you're having broccoli or whatever it is. I don't know, but they didn't do that. Their angels told the shepherds, and the shepherds come to see. And this level, I just want us to kind of get a picture of the extra level of responsibility. It says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was thinking about them. But she wasn't the only one that was thinking about them. Joseph was too. So I'd like to turn and read in Matthew, the second chapter, and read a little bit here, beginning Matthew chapter 2, and want to start reading in verse 10. And where we're picking up is where the men, the wise men, had come to Jerusalem. They were seeking, they were following a star. They were seeking a king that had been born. They were convinced because they had been studying the scriptures and the prophecies and the things that had been passed down to them. And they felt like they had seen the sign that he was born or was going to be born. And in my mind, it may be that this was a very short period of time after that Jesus was born. I believe it happened after the shepherds came. I believe the shepherds had already been there and gone. I might be wrong, but I think that's the way the chronological order of events. It might have been after the 8 days and Jesus had been circumcised. It might have been after the time that Jesus and his parents had went into the temple and Simeon and Anna had held him and blessed the Lord for being able to hold the salvation of Israel in their arms and in their hands. Might have been after that, but I believe they were still in Bethlehem at the time. So they came to Bethlehem to see this newborn king. And we'll pick up the story in verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. So let's pause there just a moment. So we've had, just for the sake of our message this morning, allow me to think that this is after the shepherds had come and made their proclamation that the angels had come and visited them. This is after Jesus had been taken to the temple by his parents, and that Simeon and Anna had extolled their blessings upon him and thanking God for the privilege and opportunity. And all of this was settling in. It's one thing for the level of responsibility to settle down on us that we're now parents. We're not just expectant parents. We are now parents, and this little child is looking to us for everything. And it's our responsibility to lead them, to guide them, to train them in the way they ought to go. And now we've got some aristocrats that showed up, some kings that showed up, and some wise men. I don't know what their level of earthly honor and prestige and what kind of respect they commanded. I don't know all of that. But I know that they brought some extraordinary gifts for Jesus. And I know that they didn't just bring gifts, but we notice here that they came into the house, they saw the young child. Apparently they were not in the stable any longer, but they were in a house. I'm just reading that from the context. And they saw the young child with Mary, and they did something that would have caused a great sense of responsibility to come over any parent. It says they fell down and worshiped him, and then they opened up these treasures. You're talking about feeling weighty now. Much more than, I got this little child to take care of now. And much more than that. We've had shepherds come tell us about their visitation from the angels. Now we've got people that's obviously from much higher means than we are. Joseph and Mary were both probably more indigent than they were wealthy by a long stretch. And here these people come in with elaborate gifts, and they not only gave these gifts to the parents and the child, but they bowed down and worshiped. And it was customary for them to get right down on their faces on the ground when they did that. You remember Mary was pondering the things that the shepherds said. And I believe that Mary and Joseph were thinking and pondering. That's what that means, to think about. They were pondering what's going on now. And these wise men had been warned in a dream to go back another way. Don't go back and tell Herod what you found or where you found him. So verse 13, it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. So I want us to think about Joseph today. Joseph. He thought he was just marrying Mary. He was a spouse to Mary, remember? And then the whole apple cart got upset, so to speak, because Mary, it became known that something, Mary was going to have a child. And Joseph was an honorable man, and he thought he had put his, allowed his affections, he had made this an agreement. I don't know what all went on, but I think about myself and I think about my sons, and if they were anticipating getting married and then they'd already said, well, we set the date, we're going to get married. We got married on March the 28th, so we set the date and going along, working towards that. And I remember what all I did. I remember we bought a house and I'm making improvements, and my boys bought houses and they made improvements. They're getting ready for this. And can you imagine what it felt like to be Joseph and you found out this person you was fixing to marry hadn't been true to you? And then God said, Joseph, don't be afraid. You go ahead and marry her anyway. This child is a child of God. I find something outstandingly valuable in Joseph's character. Joseph was willing to accept a responsibility that very few people would. You'd been hard-pressed to get me to accept that responsibility. You've been hard-pressed to get any one of my boys to accept that type of responsibility. You know how hard it is for someone without any authority. I don't have any heaven to take you to, and I don't have any heaven to keep you out of. All I can do is be an advisor, and that's what I try to do when I stand here behind this desk, try to share what the Lord's inspired me with. And you know how hard it is to assign responsibilities? You need to be prepared for something. You need to take this responsibility. You know, we live in our United States and we value very highly our freedom of choice. And it's pretty hard to pass out responsibilities if you don't have consequences that go along with it. Now, when I'm a father and my boys lived at home and they were under my control, I could put some pressure on them. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to do what I tell you to do, or I'm going to pour a glass of cold water on you. You're going to go out and finish the cutting the grass, or you don't get nothing to eat for supper. You know, there's consequences. But I stand here, what if I told you, you need to take this responsibility, you don't get nothing to eat tonight. You'd go out the back door saying, who does he think he is? He don't have a right to keep me from eating. And he tried to give me a job. Now, Mary wasn't the only young virgin that Joseph could have married. She wasn't the last woman on the planet. And Joseph could have legally got disconnected from that arrangement without any shame to his character. In fact, people probably would have thought better of him. There was probably people that took Joseph aside and said, Joseph, you're really messing up. You have no... what is wrong with you? There is no way that I would go ahead and marry Mary You understand what I'm saying? After finding out what you found out. He had acquaintances. He had friends. He had people that were trying to help him make the right choice. He had probably had a dad. I would have told my boys, boy, you better run away from that one. You better turn that loose. You're setting yourself up for disaster. I would have told my boys that. And I would have been justified in telling them that. And Joseph's father was justified in telling him that. But Joseph took a responsibility because God said, Joseph, it's okay. He trusted the visitation of the Lord and took on a responsibility. You know, that's not very tangible. The angels that came and visited the shepherds. I doubt they put any mark on any rocks. I doubt they burned any holes in the ground. But it was an experience that impressed those shepherds, and they made a move on it. You know, I believe the Lord's visited every one of us here at some point in our life. We felt the moving of His Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And then He gave us maybe a job, a responsibility. And it'll behoove us to follow through with that and not back up. And Joseph did. He followed through with it, and he took Mary to be his wife, and he took care of her. And now the Lord came and visited him again in a dream, and he said, Joseph, this little child that's come into your life, that Mary has delivered, and it's been under circumstances that no one would just anticipate. But now, I want you to take this child, and I want you to protect it with your life. Joseph could have said, "This is too much. It's not really my child anyway." What is going on here? The responsibility is just getting heavier and heavier and heavier. But he didn't react that way. He was aware of the very powerful element that was developing in his life. And he was willing to be responsible. So Joseph, what did he do? Verse 14, chapter 2 of Matthew. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Today, your soul is the most responsible and valuable possession that you have. Your soul, the most valuable thing you got. And your life will reflect the value you put on your soul. I think all of us here would say, I know what it's like for God to talk to my soul. He spoke to me. I know it was the Lord. I felt Him. I sensed His presence. I heard His voice. I know what it's like for the Lord to say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I know what it's like for Him to put His finger on something in my life and say, "I want you to give that to me." We have those experiences. And we also know what it's like to have those around us, like Joseph had, that said, "I wouldn't do that if I was you. You're going to mess up your whole life. That looks unreasonable. No one would have fault you. Joseph would have put her away privately, is what the scripture tells us. That means he was not trying to be vindictive, and he wasn't trying to be harsh. He was just thinking about the future. He was thinking about his own integrity. He was thinking about his reputation, his testimony, all of those kind of things. You know, our life will reflect the value that we put on our soul. The more responsible we are with our soul, the more peace and contentment we'll have in life. And life will be fulfilling and satisfying. I believe that. Where would we be today if Joseph had not been willing to accept the responsibility? Do you know if you neglect your soul, you'll have heartache untold. You'll have heartache that'll go along with it. It'll be proportional to your neglect. I'd like for us to go back to the Old Testament. We started in the New Testament. I'd like to go back to the Old Testament. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, and notice what he says here. I believe it's Moses speaking to the people. First five books of the Bible are accredited to Moses. They're called the Pentateuch. He says here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy son's son." Oh, that was plural. "Teach them to thy sons and to thy son's sons." Teach them to all those that come behind us. Some of the motivation I have to be prepared for a setting like this. Not because I enjoy standing and speaking, because I want us to be faithful, and I want us to be willing to take responsible action. I know what it's like for the Lord to visit my soul, and I can shove it off to the side and just deal with the tangible things in life. And I'll tell you, I'll make a shipwreck. I'll end up in trouble. Or I can accept the responsibility and shape my life around a responsibility that many times people will say, could say, that's not necessary and that's not foolish. Or that is foolish. That's something that you don't really have to answer to. You need to enjoy life and you need to take care of yourself and all of those kind of things. I just want us to ask. I want us to ask ourselves today, are we willing to take the responsibility that's set before us? You know, we go shopping sometimes and we go down the aisle and we pick out things that we want. Work with a man that said he probably wouldn't go shopping for food by himself any longer. Said his wife sent him to town for just a few items and he ended up spending a lot of money. I can't remember how much it was, but he'd kind of glanced into the pantry before he left and realized they were low on this and low on that and there was other things that they needed. And I guess he filled the shopping cart and brought it all home. So he didn't trust himself going shopping any longer, you know. But how many of us will go shopping, so to speak, and pick up a responsibility. Pick up something that's going to continue to cost us something. Not so much monetary, but it's going to take some of my time. It's going to take my devotion. It's going to take me to be consecrated. Take heed to yourself and keep thy soul diligently, carefully. Be willing to take that responsibility. You know, it's my responsibility that I've taken to endeavor to be prepared to give you something that'll cause us to be able to grow and to prosper spiritually. I trust the Lord will help our feeble efforts. But I don't have any way of following after any of you and saying, you're not doing that right. You need to do a better job there. I can't do that. You have to take that responsibility. You have to be willing to say, I'll be a Joseph here. I'll take care of my Savior here in this particular setting. I'd like to turn now to Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And notice what the writer says in Proverbs 4, and I believe it's verse 23. Down towards the end of the chapters. The favorite portion of Proverbs 4 for me says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I have to take that responsibility. No one can follow me around. No one can make me not click on that icon, that button. No one can keep me from listening, looking, tasting, smelling, whatever sensory element we want to factor. No one can keep me but me. And I have to be responsible for that. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, Joseph could have disregarded that responsibility, but he took on a responsibility that we might say, you know, I could tell Rodney today, Rodney, that's your son. You've got to take responsibility for that. He's still got to choose to do it, but I could say that to him. That's your son. Was Jesus Joseph's son? Not really. He was God's son. But he took on that responsibility. He said, that's right. That's right. I'm willing to respond and take action on the visitation of the Lord. If the Lord visits us today, are we willing to take action? Yes, I know. It's going to cost me something. Today, we're in a very responsible position for our souls. Parents have a responsibility to do what they can to teach their children and their grandchildren. That's why I wanted to read some of the Christmas story yesterday. That's why I wanted to ask the grandchildren a few questions. I want them to think. This is more about going to Papa and Nani's house and getting presents. It's more than that. Psalms 119 in verse 109. Bring our little thought to a close this morning. Psalms 119, verse 109. It says, my soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. my soul is in a place that could be jeopardized all the time. If you don't believe that, just go outside the door. Just pick up your phone. Just go to any place where there's other influences. Your soul is continually in a place that it could be jeopardized. And I got to be responsible. I got to take the responsibility. I will not go there. I will not physically go there. I will not go there in my mind. I won't allow myself to harbor whatever kind of thought it is. It might be jealousy. It might be anger. It might be lust. It might be, I won't allow myself to go there. I will be responsible. I will not allow things to come in and interject ideas that are unlike the Lord. I will not make choices that will cause me to starve out my soul. You know, I like chocolate. Granddaughters give me some chocolate yesterday. And I don't know that I've ever just ate enough chocolate to really be sick, but I realize I could. And I ate two big pieces of chocolate this morning for breakfast. Not very wise, but I did. And, you know, there's something about eating too much chocolate that is not very responsible. I don't think it was as good as eggs, and it probably wasn't as good as maybe a protein shake or something else I could have had for breakfast. But I had chocolate. And it didn't, at the time, it tasted so good going down. You know, we can eat things that'll taste good going down, and it'll just, I didn't do my body any favor this morning by eating two big pieces of chocolate. It's going to have to recover from that. You know, our soul will have to recover from anything that we take in that would be a substitute for real food and nourishment to our soul. If we take something in and fill our mind, fill our yearning in our soul for something, for fellowship, yearning for companionship, yearning for sense of well-being, what if we take something in that fills that void, and it's not something that brings us closer to the Lord and nourishes that, we're cheating our soul, and we're going to have to recover from that. It takes a responsible person to say, I will not go down that path, or I will follow through. I will make the choice. Joseph relocated himself to a foreign land because God had inspired him. You've got a responsibility here. I wonder what it'd be like today. I wonder what it'd be like if I went around and said, I want to hand out some responsibilities to all of you all that's here. And it all had to do with having service here, keeping up the building. And if I just went around and said, well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, here's your responsibility so that everything works smoothly in the congregation. I wonder how many of us would say, oh, well, I'd be glad to do that. I would venture to say that at minimum, why did he give that to me? Or the next thing would be, who does he think he is telling me what I need to do? We're in the United States of America, and it's so easy for us to do that. But you know, if we don't all take responsibility, if we don't all see it on the shelf, so to speak, and if we don't, we know what we expect when we come to service. We know what we But we know what some of the ingredients that it takes. And if we don't become responsible, I don't have any leverage to make you responsible. But if we don't take those responsibilities for our service, if we don't take responsibilities for our own soul's welfare, you know what the end result would be? We'll starve out. Our soul won't be healthy. We'll be discouraged at the least, and at the worst, we give up. If we don't be responsible. I know that there's more to life than just being just doing the hard things. I know that we ought to have some enjoyable things in life, and I believe there is joy in the service of the Master. We have a song about that too. But the joy in the service of the Master comes by us being willing to be responsible for our own individual soul's welfare and for the welfare of our little home congregation, of the welfare of the church of God at large. It's why that I've taken the time, and yes, it costs because I'm not here for our congregation here, but there's times that I'm not here and I want to be in a meeting or something, and it's part of saying there's a responsibility there. I want the church at large to be in health and to prosper. So I want us to think about Joseph today. I want us to remember that Joseph had the least to gain personally. He had the least to gain in the whole situation. He was someone that could have said, oh, that's too much for me. This is not the way we play the rules around here. I would have had to have a visitation from an angel too. But he took that and he became responsible. And he wasn't just responsible for taking Mary as his wife. He took the responsibility of protecting our Savior, of doing the things that he could to expedite it. Wonder, you know, we don't hardly hear anything about Joseph, other than there were other children, but we don't know. Was Joseph, you know, there's even supposition that Joseph was dead by the time that Jesus was crucified. Maybe he was, maybe what, I don't know. But Joseph he just kind of disappears in the story. And yet, Mary's existence, Jesus' existence, I think God would have made another plan. But they depended on Joseph being responsible. You know, many times those that are responsible for reinforcing, sometimes it's doctrine, sometimes it's temporal things, those that are responsible for keeping the boat afloat, so to speak, just pass off into obscurity. And somebody goes along and years later, generations later, wonder who was it that kept things going? Well, it was Brother So. I never heard of them. Sister So-and-so did this. I didn't even tell me more. Joseph was one of those kind. And we have to be responsible for the things that God wants to put in our life. You pray for me.